All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Daily Aztec Music Podcast, and we are back talking about a little bit more music here today. I am, of course, your host, Jason Freund, back from a bout of COVID, so, if you ever go to the YMCA gyms, make sure you wear a mask, because those dudes, it's always kind of tricky. You can never tell who's vaccinated and who's not, and sometimes they don't, like, wash the equipment, but that's besides the point. I'm Jason. I'm back. I was here with the first episode, and I'm back now. Joined by, of course, by my co-host in...
Ryan Hardison.
And my other co-host, who is going to be...
Christina Lombardo.
And we have a special guest coming in for us today, talking about this. She had an article written about this artist last year, correct, Ryan?
Yep.
Yes, correct. It was about the single he dropped in the album of the same name. Please, can you introduce yourself for the audience?
Hi, my name is Riley Martinez, and I'm very excited to be here.
All right, that's Riley. She's here. She was currently with the Daily Aztec as an arts and media writer, correct, Ryan?
Culture.
Arts, opinion, like, yeah.
Arts,
okay.
Yeah.
Arts and culture. Oh, my God. It's been a while.
Technically a senior staff writer now, but I write for a bunch of different sections. It's been really great.
She's our Swiss Army knife here, the Daily Aztec.
Precisely.
All right, so we brought her in for the sole purpose. We are going to be talking about the newest album dropped by the one, the only, the sometimes controversial Lil Nas X, dropping Montero with parentheses, Call Me By Your Name. When did he drop this? About last week? A few days ago? It's just recently dropped, I know that.
A week and a half ago?
Yes.
Almost 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, almost 2 weeks ago. And he kind of hyped this one up. He dropped Montero, Call Me By Your Name, the single... dropped that out like a while ago to promote the album, generated a lot of looks, a lot of views, and then he dropped Industry Baby, the second single off of the album. He dropped that as well. So first I want to ask you, Riley, you seem to be the expert on this album. What is your overall opinion of the album in general?
So I would hesitate to call myself an expert on it, because I think that there's just so much to unpack when it comes to Lil Nas X and how he writes and how his music just kind of is. But I really liked the album. I thought it was really, really, really sort of like dense, well thought out artistic piece. I mean, obviously, you know, I have very positive opinions on Lil Nas X, but I just really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really, really interesting sort of new thing on the music scene. I think it's really, really good experience for anyone who's looking to try something new.
All right. Ryan, let's field your opinions now. What do you think about this album that just dropped?
I thought it was really, really good. I was definitely impressed by the singles that came out. You know, Montero was really great. Amazing music video. Industry Baby, I can say the same thing pretty much. And I was pleasantly surprised. I had, like, pretty good expectations coming into the album. But I definitely can leave it saying that I didn't think any songs were particularly, like, weak or misplaced on there. I think everything flowed really well. Really great features. Overall, just a really fun album. And he also gets, like, fairly personal in some tracks and, like, I mean, he's been through a lot, like, so far in the industry, but, yeah, I left it with a very positive experience.
All right, we're going to shift now to Christina. What are you thinking about this?
You know what? The hating streak, it's over. I actually really love this album. The features are really good. Miley Cyrus, my queen, I love her. You know, I find it interesting, though, like, a lot of the titles have, like, religious themes to it, but it's not really... Because, you know, in Donda, it was more religious-based. And even though the titles are religious-based in Lil Nas's album, they're not really. I don't know how to explain it, but I actually just really enjoy it. I've been listening to it all week. I obviously have a few favorites, but I think it's a really well-done album. And the songs, they obviously have, like, deeper meaning and just who he is in the industry right now, like, as a black, like, gay rapper, I think is so iconic within itself. And this album just, like, shows his experiences with love and, like, rejection and, like, you know, deeper stuff. And I just really like it.
It's a perspective you don't really see in the music industry, like, in this day and age. A lot of the songs are talking about, he gets kind of personal, like what you said, Ryan. He gets very personal about, like, his past relationships and past mess-ups and his life, his own personal life. we've seen artists do this a lot, talking about their past failed relationships. I mean, God, Drake and Taylor Swift, if those two ever get into a relationship, it's going to be, the breakup songs are going to be incredible if they ever drop. But this is a little, it just feels different coming from him, because it's a lot different perspective, because you don't expect someone like him to be dropping this kind of music. But what you see in, like, in Montero, in That's What I Want, The Art of Realization, all of these kind of songs go more into, like, a deep dive into what he's experienced in his past. I will say, I did like Montero. It was a good song. I kind of liked the Industry Baby a little better, though. Like, that's one song, like, okay, this, I thought that was, like, the highlight of the album. And, of course, the features were all pretty good, were all really good, too. Jack Harlow was an Industry Baby. Megan Thee Stallion, of all people, popped in on the one song. Doja Cat was there. I like Doja Cat a little bit more than Megan Thee Stallion in this album. And apparently Elton John was in this album, too. Like, I didn't even hear him. Like, it passed through the song. Like, wait, that was Elton John? I had to, like, get another listen. I think he did the instruments for it? I'm not sure.
Plus, like, background vocals, yeah, I think. Like, that was his, like, main contribution.
Mm-hmm. I remember Elton John's always been more of a man who kind of plays the music instead of writing it, so I think he probably just gave, like, more background vocals and more, just, like, playing some piano in that bit. So I want to transition now. I want to ask... The first single that came out of this was obviously the song of the same name of the album, Montero, Call Me By Your Name. And it was, let's just say it was just a little controversial with some of the things portrayed in the music video. Riley, you dropped a very good article on the Daily Aztec talking about what this symbolized and kind of talking about the music video. So can you go into, like, detail more about what your opinions were and what you saw during the music video?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, thank you for the compliment. But I really wrote the article in the first place because I saw the music video. First I heard the controversy before I even saw the music video. But I watched the music video, and I'm not a Christian, so obviously I have a very different perspective going into it. But just, like, knowing what I know about how queerness is treated within Christianity and within, like, that kind of biblical world, I thought that it was a really, really beautiful sort of portrayal of someone taking back and taking ownership over their queerness in a Christian setting. I thought it was just really, really well done. And so that was kind of what sparked my interest in the music video. And of course, when I did the article, I ended up looking more into some of the imagery that he included. So including, like, the name Call Me By Your Name, it has a deep rooted history within Christianity and within, like, Greek culture. And there's just so much that was layered into it that I thought was really, really emblematic of just, like, the type of artist that Lil Nas X is and that he kind of has lived up to. I mean, I think we can see that kind of depth throughout the album that he just released as well.
Mm-hmm. Please, co-hosts, do you guys kind of, like, agree with what Riley said here, or do you have any differing thoughts?
I strongly agree. I think it was just a very, like, beautiful personal expression for him, just because I think that was his, like Riley sort of said, it's, like, his, like, interpretation of, like, you know, some people might see, like, Christianity in a different light, but I think, like, something like queerness, there's, like, a lot of, you know, contention there. And I honestly, like, even after watching it, like, I knew the controversy, like, so many terrible opinions, like, because of that, like,
yeah.
And just, yeah, no, I really, like, enjoyed the video, and then I learned so much from, like, her article, especially because, like, I knew there was, like, some imagery in there and, like, a lot of symbolism, but, like, the specifics of it, I was, like, it was, like, a gray area for me, so I really learned a lot from that. I thought it was just, I don't know, a really great, like, first single, too. Like, if you want to, you know, like, his name was already out there, and he's put his, like, stamp there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really fantastic.
Christina, anything from you?
I mean, I agree with both of them. Also, just, like, with the controversy with, like, the whole Nike stuff, too. Basically, you guys said it perfectly. I don't know what else to add, so.
If you don't mind if I add this one thing in here. I think he made this music video kind of knowing it was going to be controversial. And
yeah.
I think that's what he wanted it to be, because once you drop something with that much controversy, what's it going to do? It's going to attract more viewers. People want to see, okay, what's the controversy about? So they're going to watch the music video. They're going to form their own opinions about it. He's going to get more views from this. It's a genius marketing plot. Not only is it a genius marketing plot, but he also gets to express himself in a way that's unique to himself. So he's kind of hitting a home run two home runs on a single pitch right there. Mm-hmm. It's perfect for him, and it worked perfection. We're obviously talking about it right now. We're talking about this new album that dropped from it, and he started from such humble beginnings, and now he's making one of the top-selling albums right now, going up against guys like Kanye West, going up against Drake. He's going up against these three guys, and he just started from such humble beginnings. And speaking of those humble beginnings, I mean, we know he started with Old Town Road, he got big on TikTok, the stolen Red Dead Redemption 2 clips for the music video, going from that kind of music video to, like, now with, like, Montero and stuff, getting Billy Ray Cyrus, which actually is kind of funny, because he had Billy Ray Cyrus in the last one, and now he has Miley Cyrus in this one.
Yeah.
I just made that connection now, but Riley, can you talk a little bit more about how he started, like, just from getting big on TikTok to now being this, like, international superstar?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know that much about his TikTok beginnings, but I do know actually a little bit about, I was thinking about it just today. It's really interesting to me how much his career has kind of been shaped almost by controversy. Like, I don't know if you remember when Old Town Road came out, which was his first big hit single. It hit kind of number one on the country charts, if I'm not wrong. And then it was taken down because it wasn't considered country enough. And then Billy Ray Cyrus got on and did a record with him, and they did a remix of it. And then it got back on the country charts. It was like this whole long thing. And if you go back and listen to Old Town Road compared to some of his newer stuff, and especially the stuff on this new album, like Call Me By Your Name, things that are overtly queer and overtly just like so honest and radical in a lot of ways, it's really interesting to see that even a song that was kind of as innocent as Old Town Road was still just like swarmed with this controversy and ideas of it not being enough or not being right or not being, you know, not filling boxes that people thought it should fill. And so I think it's really interesting when you look at his career to see that, like, I think it was kind of destined to be surrounded by controversy. And instead of trying to combat that, like a lot of artists might have, he sort of embraced it. And I think that that's kind of shaped artistry in a way that's really, really cool to watch evolve.
Ryan, I see you nodding your head here. It looks like you kind of agree with what she's saying.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think he's really the most, I don't know the right word, but maybe like symbolic Gen Z musical superstar, just because he knows how to use the internet so well. Like, that's, you know, how he really got big with Old Town Road, and he really knows how to like ride the wave of controversy, just because, like, I mean, because he gets pulled into stuff that's like not his fault at all. There's like the thing where it's like his song was on the country charts and they got pulled down, and then he's involved in this firestorm, but he just wanted to make like a country song. And they got Billy Ray Cyrus on there, you know, it went diamond, I think, like the song. So he just really knows, I don't know, I love his confidence. I really love his confidence because he really like knows what he's doing. And I think you can see it then, and you can see it especially now, because I think he's like, since he has like his foot, like, you know, in the music industry now, he really knows what he's doing, and he's really able to express himself even more. So I think you can see the sort of evolution from like Old Town Road. It's definitely like a fun song, you know, and like he goes, and he's still making really fun music, but it's also, like we've like all said before, it is more personal now. He's really able to like show his true self. I think that's really awesome.
Christina, do you kind of agree with Ryan and Riley here, or got something different?
I mean, yeah. So before this album, I didn't really listen to him. Obviously, I knew Old Town Road, but, you know, like, what's that song called?
Oh, Panini.
Panini. I mean, that song, like, always kind of turned me off from him a bit. But, like, this album, oh my god, it's just so good. And I can't explain it. But, like, every time I listen to Lost in the Citadel, I'm like, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Because it's such a good song. And the artistry and the lyrics, like, it's not sloppy. It's not messy. It's just, like, it's consistent, you know what I mean? But yeah, that's my opinion on that. Anyone else?
I mean, yeah, he, like what you said, Ryan, he is kind of like the definition of Gen Z music. He started off very small, TikTok, and then it got big, seemingly overnight it got big, and then he had to go through all this firestorm, all this controversy that wasn't even really his fault. I think some of those first few songs that came out after Old Town Road was just him kind of having fun, just kind of messing around. Like, he was, to put it in a layman's terms, and posting his way through, like, a lot of the times. Like, he dropped Panini, he made it, it was about, like, the cartoon. It was like a character from the Cartoon Network show Chowder. Like that's what it was about. And then he dropped Rodeo, and he had Nas there. It's like, hey, it's a funny controversy. And I thought Rodeo was still pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like they performed it at the Grammys when Kobe passed away, and there was. And they kind of had the rotating circle of, like, him, the yodeling kid, Nas, and I think BTS was there, too, Billy Ray Cyrus. So just seeing him grow from, like, that to now he's like, okay, I've had my fun. Now let's get deep. And he got really deep in this album. A lot of the songs they're talking about, like, his own personal things. I've already said my favorite is Industry Baby. I kind of like the bass, I like the beats, and the lyrics are all very good. Christina, I think you've already given your kind of favorite song here, Lost in the Citadel. I'm still waiting to hear. We have two more people here. I want to feel your opinions currently on favorite songs. Ryan, I think I'll go with pick on you first. What do you think? Favorite song from this album?
I'd probably have to choose. Okay, there's definitely a couple that I've been playing more than the others. At first, it was Industry Baby. I think that's just like a very, like, it's like a fantastic single, but probably One of Me with Elton John. I think I really like it too, just because he shows, you know, like, he's pretty much saying in the lyrics, you know, like, I'm unique, you know, as much as, like, people try to put me in a box and make me be something or, like, have me classified as, like, one specific thing. Like, I'm me. I can do whatever I want, you know. I really liked, like, the message behind it. I thought it was, like, really well done artistically. And, yeah, I think it really just, like, defines who he is. So I think it's the perfect song.
Okay. Riley, what about you?
So, Montero, Call Me By Your Name will always have a soft, like, a very special place in my heart. But I think that my favorite, after listening to the whole album a couple of times, it came away with Void being my favorite, just because it really hit me. It really stood out to me as, like, just so introspective and honest, but also, like, weirdly upbeat. Like, it was just, it just had me coming back to it again and again, and so that one, I would have to say.
Now, another thing I want to talk about in this album, I think a lot of us would be interested in this, are the features. We've seen the past two albums we've talked about have been heavy features, a lot of, especially, you know, Drake, Kanye's was full of features. This song does not have a lot in terms of featured artists. It has obviously a few featured artists in there, but there's not that many. It's kind of more designated just to Lil Nas X. With that being said, though, I'm kind of curious to feel everyone else's opinions here. What do you think of all of the features here? Like, who stood out the best? Who kind of stood out the least? Who kind of worked it out best here in this one? Christina, you talked about Miley Cyrus in this one. You're queen. You stan Miley.
Well, I'm a little biased because I've been following Miley since Hannah Montana. She was, like, the first fandom that I've, like, ever been a part of. But, like, the vocals on that track, it's so good. Yeah, she would be my favorite feature. My least favorite would probably be Doja's feature on Swoop, just because I don't think it brings a lot to the song personally, because I think Lil Nas, like, it just kind of, he stands out on his own, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it was necessary, but that's just my opinion. Ryan?
I actually would low-key say the opposite. I don't know why, but I think that Doja and Lil Nas actually mesh really well. And, like, I get what you mean, because, like, I think he could have done this song by himself and it wouldn't have been, like, a gigantic difference. But I think having her there really does help it. I don't necessarily have a least favorite, though. I'd say one of my other favorites is definitely Jack Harlow. I'm not huge on him as a solo artist, but I thought he really killed it. Like, stepped up to the plate and just, bam, grand slam.
Got it out of the park. Riley, I want to hear yours before I chime in with my little thoughts.
Okay, I'm gonna have to join. I'm gonna have to join Christina on this one and say that I didn't care much for the Doja Cat feature, but I really, really loved the Miley Cyrus feature, and I really, really loved the Megan Thee Stallion feature. I'm such a big fan of both Megan Thee Stallion and Miley Cyrus that I was just really excited to hear them on record with Lil Nas.
I'm going to take a little bit of a page out of Ryan's book here. I'm going to say I really like Jack Harlow in Industry Baby. He kind of added, like, this just a different, like, perspective in that song. Like, yeah, Nas was doing great in there. And then Jack Harlow just kind of, like, seamlessly flowed into it. It's like, okay, there was a really good transition. Just bam, here's Jack Harlow. He's going on his bar. But I think the most symbolic has to be Elton John. Elton John, of course, was perhaps one of the first, like, queer artists to officially come out of the closet, like him and Freddie Mercury were some of the bigger ones. Now with Elton John being featured in Montero for Lil Nas X, a African-American queer man, seems this more kind of like a, this is kind of like a passing of the torch from Elton John, from the older generation, to the younger generation, from Elton John to Lil Nas X. That's kind of my thoughts on Elton John's appearance in here. I don't know if you guys kind of follow the same, like, thought process, but that's just kind of what I was thinking about it.
Yeah, I agree. I honestly agree. I thought, like, you know, even if you can't really tell, like, you know, his, like, presence is there necessarily, like, he didn't have his own, like, verse or anything, you can, I don't know. It's welcoming to know that he was on this song, and, like, as that being my personal favorite song on the album, I think, you know, his presence was really there. Also, shout out to Slack for that notification.
That's right. Just because we're doing a podcast doesn't mean we have to work still. We're always working at the Daily Aztec. So I'm gonna hit you guys with one last thing before I let you all go. And Riley, you've been amazing today, so thank you very much for coming in. I just wanted to say, so what's next? Do you think Lil Nas X is going to maybe take a break? Is he just going to kind of ride off this? Is he going to go on maybe a little bit of a tour now? Or do you think he's just going to immediately hop back into the studio and start making more music? Ryan, I'll start off with you.
I'd say I wouldn't be surprised if he, like, went back into the studio pretty soon. I think Rodeo came out, I want to say, like, 2019, like, late 2019. So it was about, like, a two-year gap or so between that and this album. But I think he'll stay active. He'll definitely be active on Twitter, which I love. So, like, I know he'll be active there, but I hope he does more features. I think he would be, like, great. Like, I think it'd be great if he popped up on more people's albums, but I wouldn't be surprised if he took a little break, or, like, I'm sure he'll tour with this album. I'm, like, positive he will, so that'll probably be the logical next move.
Okay. Christina, I'm kind of going around the table here. Christina, what about you? What's the future for Lil Nas X?
I think he probably will make more music, but I don't think he's going to release it. Like, I feel like he's going to post a couple TikToks and be like, hey, like, if you want me to release it, like, do this. But I don't think he'll actually, like, I feel like he's kind of a troll in that sense. But hopefully he goes on tour, because I would love to see this album live. But yeah, I think he's just going to ride this out, see what happens, and hopefully it all works out for him.
All right. Riley, how about yourself?
So I think that he has a long musical career ahead of him. And I think that this is definitely not the last that we have seen of Lil Nas X. I think this is just, like, a really beautiful debut. I think it'll be probably a while before we get another full album from him, just because it does seem like he likes to put a lot of care and thought into his songs. I really also hope that he goes on tour, and I don't know. I just think that there's no telling what he might do next, but I'm really excited for whatever it is.
Yeah, I kind of feel like he's probably going to make some more music, but not as, like, an album. Just kind of put out more songs, like, kind of, like, he'll drop, like, a Panini or, like, a Rodeo every now and then. It's like, hey, here's a song for my fans. As far as going on tour, does he have enough music to go on tour? Like, he has the album now, and he has, obviously, Old Town Road, Panini, Rodeo. Does he have, like, I don't know if he has enough music to go on tour. He could probably do it. Like, he's a very talented artist, and he's going to be around for a while now. Like, a lot of people thought that he was kind of be like, all right, Old Town Road, it's the funny cowboy song, Flash in the Pan. A lot of people, that's what some people predicted from him, but now he's proven that wrong, and he's stuck around. He's going to be sticking around for a very long time after this. A tour would be cool, though. I kind of would like to see a tour. Like, if he goes on tour, it's going to sell out very quickly. Like, that.
No, yeah. I think he's got the amount of songs for it. He's definitely got the numbers for it. I mean, if Sheck West can tour off of just Mo Bamba, if Lil Nas can tour off of, because he's got, like, at least 20 to 25 songs now with this album, so
yeah.
I think he's chilling.
Alright, so before we wrap up, do we have any final thoughts, anything about this? Anyone wants to throw out anything that they weren't able to say in this?
My only final thought is that you reminded me of that yodeling kid, Mason Ramsey, who I totally forgot about until you mentioned it. So shout out to Mason Ramsey.
I forgot his name, so that's why I called him Yodeling Kid. So we got Clive from here. Anything from you, Riley? Anything else?
No, I mean, if you haven't listened to Montero yet, I think you should. But, I mean, yeah.
All right, so I believe that's just about gonna do it from all of us at the Daily Aztec Music Podcast. I am Jason Freund, of course. I am joined by my man on the left,
Ryan Hardison.
The woman in front of me,
Christina Lombardo.
And the woman on the Zoom interview,
Riley Martinez.
Riley, thank you very much for coming in today. We really appreciate you taking just the time out of your day to come talk to us about this this great album, about what it represents and what it symbolizes. You brought a lot of good stuff to the table and you brought a lot of great insights. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me. This was a ton of fun and I can't wait to be back.
Mm-hmm. All right. So with that being said, you have been listening to the Daily Aztec Music Podcast. Thank you all very much for joining. Hope you all have a wonderful day.